The U.S. national debt has now reached $34 trillion. Many other countries are struggling with skyrocketing debt as well. Governments are spending far more than they make. How bad is the problem? And could it all lead to a global economic collapse? That's what we'll explore now on Foreshadows Report. Welcome to Foreshadows Report. This is Steve Miller. Each week we study the scripture and examine world events so that we can have a better understanding of the times. Our goal is to be alert, for we do not know the day or hour when our Lord will appear. Jesus exhorted us to keep watch, which means to pay attention, and that's what we want to do. We want to be well informed about what God's Word teaches and to be discerning about what's happening in our world today. Scripture tells us that the closer we get to the end time, the more our world will fall apart. And if there is one thing that can speed up that process, it would be an economic collapse. While it is impossible for us to see into the future and predict what will happen, we can definitely say that the economic health of our world is going downhill fast. In this podcast, we're going to look at the warning signs all around us and see how these might fit in with what we can expect to take place during the last days. We know from the Bible that there is coming a day when there will be a one-world economy. Revelation 13, verses 16 and 17 tells us that during the tribulation, the Antichrist will control every single person's ability to buy or sell. This will make him extremely powerful because someone who can control your ability to buy and sell will also have the ability to control your entire life. What we don't know is how we will get to that one world economy. But one very real possibility is that somewhere along the way, an economic collapse could affect the entire globe. The crisis could be so great that governments say the only way out of it is for all countries to work together toward a solution. If a global economic collapse were to take place, it would give banks and governments an excuse to expand their control over the world's financial systems. In the same way that COVID brought about a global health crisis that led to greater government control over our health, an economic collapse could cause a global financial crisis that leads to greater government control over our finances. While we are now well past the worst part of COVID, the most devastating impact of the pandemic could still be ahead of us. The World Health Organization is now working on a pandemic prevention, preparedness, and response accord, and there are 194 nations that are members of the World Health Organization. The organization said that the goal of this accord is to enable the world to be more ready to respond to the next health security threat in a more rapid, coordinated, transparent, and equitable way. And in May 2024, the member nations will meet together to make decisions about whether to move forward with this accord. But the big question is this: who will have the authority to decide how the entire world should respond to the next health crisis? Right now, it's looking like the World Health Organization will become that authority. If the idea is for all countries to have a coordinated response, this implies that all the member nations will have to submit to a central authority who dictates what everyone does. Something similar could happen to the world's financial markets if a global economic collapse were to occur. World leaders will say, "We need to make sure this never happens again," and this could lead governments and banks to try to create some kind of central governing body that all nations are accountable to. Again, it's impossible for us to predict what will happen in the future, but there is a lot of evidence all around us that economies are in danger of collapsing. And the number one problem is the unsustainable levels of debt worldwide. The debt loads of governments everywhere are so great that the chances of default are growing. When a government is unable to pay back its debts, it goes into default. We saw an example of this happen in 2010 when Greece threatened to default on its debts. If the government of Greece had gone bankrupt, it would have threatened the solvency of all the banks in Europe that Greece owed money to, and it took a lot of work for the European Union to restructure Greece's debt so that banks all over Europe would not collapse. This shows us that an economic collapse in one place can start a domino effect that causes many other dominoes to fall. So if a debt bomb were to explode in one place somewhere in the world, it could easily force an economic reset that affects the entire globe. In a nutshell, here's the problem. Governments are spending far more than they bring in. This is especially true in the United States. Consider how fast our debt is growing. In June 2023, the national debt hit $32 trillion. 3 months later, in September, we hit $33 trillion. In a little more than three more months, on December 29, 2023, we reached $34 trillion. And it's likely that we will pass $35 trillion in just another 3 months by the end of March 2024. The U.S. federal debt is growing at the fastest rate ever. It is literally exploding. $1 trillion is hard for us to get our minds around. In my book, Foreshadows, I quoted a U.S. senator who gave an illustration that helps to explain the huge gaps between $1 million, $1 billion, and $1 trillion. Here's what he said. The way I translate this is 1 million seconds is 11 and a half days. 1 billion seconds is 31 and a half years. 1 trillion seconds is 31,688 years. So if you paid $1 in taxes every single second, you could pay back $1 million in 11 and a half days. But if you need to pay back $1 trillion, you would have to pay $1 per second for more than 31,000 years. Consider this. In the year 2022, the U.S. government spent $6.13 trillion. But during that same year, it took in only $4.9 trillion. That is a gap of $1.4 trillion. Now, $1.4 trillion might not sound like a lot, but remember, 1 trillion seconds is more than 31,000 years. That involves a huge amount of money. Let's bring this down to a personal level. Let's say you earn $5,000 every month, but you also spend $6,000 every month. If you keep spending more than you earn, your debt will grow, and eventually it will reach a point that is unsustainable. Your debt will become so great that you are no longer able to pay it back. That's because you also have interest payments to make, and those interest payments get bigger as time goes by. That's what the governments all over the world face, and they are digging themselves deeper and deeper into debt. What's interesting is that the U.S. government is making more money on taxes than ever before. Tax revenues have reached the highest levels ever. Yet because the government keeps finding new ways to spend money and doesn't live within its budget, it is losing ground badly. Here's another way of seeing how big our debt is. According to Americans for Tax Fairness, there are now 740 billionaires in the U.S. Their total worth comes to $5.2 trillion. If the government were to confiscate every single penny that they own, we would still have $29 trillion in debt. The government would have to confiscate money from all 740 billionaires five more times in order to pay off the debt. There simply is not anywhere near enough wealth in the U.S. Here's what's scary. The fastest growing part of the national debt is the interest payments. In 2021, the U.S. paid $1 billion a day on interest alone. And now, just 3 years later, the interest payments have ballooned to nearly $2 billion a day, thanks to higher interest rates. That's nearly $2 billion a day that cannot be used anywhere else, or roughly $700 billion every single year that cannot be invested in the future or used in ways that build up the country. Right now, the cost of servicing the debt is the same as what the U.S. government spends on defense. It's only a matter of time before the interest payments become the biggest item in the government's budget, even more than what is paid out in Social Security every year. The same story is being repeated all over the world. In 2023, global debt hit a record-breaking $307 trillion, and the countries that contributed most to that include the U.S., Japan, the United Kingdom, France, China, India, and Brazil. The World Bank Group's chief economist has said, "Record debt levels and high interest rates have set many countries on a path to crisis. Because so much money has to go toward repaying debt, far less money is available for growth and development. As it is now, there are so many needs that cannot be met because there isn't enough money to help care for those needs. This world is becoming more impoverished than ever." The International Monetary Fund has said that 70 low-income nations are now facing severe debt issues. That's more than one-third of the countries in the world. And according to the director of the Boston University Global Development Policy, the impact of all this debt has been catastrophic. He said, "We've already seen over 100 million people go back into poverty, and many countries facing a lost decade because they have to make a daily trade-off: education or servicing debts, healthcare or servicing debts." Our world is facing some severe economic pain right now. Inflation is soaring, energy prices are high, job openings are declining, and unemployment is growing worse. There are many nations in which currency is losing its value. For example, Turkey's currency had lost 90% of its value over the past decade, and in the first 3 months of 2023 alone, the Lebanese pound's exchange rate to the U.S. dollar dropped 300%. Italy's debt is so great that the International Monetary Fund has warned that all of the rest of Europe is now vulnerable to a financial crisis. China is facing serious economic challenges. In his New Year's speech, President Xi admitted the country is facing headwinds. He said that some enterprises have had a tough time. Some people have had difficulty finding jobs and meeting basic needs. In the U.S., two of the largest bank failures in history took place in March 2023. And in all of 2023, small businesses in the U.S. filed for bankruptcy at a record pace. That's just a small sampling of what's happening. And because we live in a highly interconnected world, a financial collapse in one country can have a domino effect on other countries. If a global economic collapse were to take place, how would the world's governments respond? It is very likely that top leaders would say, "We need to take steps to prevent future crashes from taking place." One way to do this would be to force mutual accountability on all governments. In other words, to create rules that apply to everyone. It's very possible that top government leaders and bank experts would say we need to create a centralized committee to fix the problem. This committee would work to restructure each nation's debts and financial markets, and this would require countries to agree to cooperate with one another. This is an example of how a debt explosion could take us a big step closer toward a one-world economy. Now, Bible prophecy doesn't say anything about a global economic collapse before the tribulation. But we do know that during the tribulation, when the third seal judgment takes place, famine will affect the world. We read about this in Revelation 6, verses 5 and 6, and it's very likely that one of the reasons for this famine will be a global economic collapse. Though Bible prophecy doesn't tell us what will happen to the world economically before the tribulation, we do know this. The world debt loads are now at all-time high. They continue to become more unsustainable than ever. And when we had a global financial crisis back in 2008, the debt load was much smaller, which means that today we are more vulnerable than ever to the damage a collapse can cause. And the question is this, how much longer can this keep up? How close are we to the tipping point? We can say with certainty that we are getting closer than ever. What's sad is that when the U.S. national debt hit $34 trillion, the news was given very little attention, and very little is being done worldwide to fix problems in other countries. When a global crisis does break out, people are going to be desperate. We could see governments and banks everywhere call for a world debt conference to deal with the fallout. As I say in my book, Foreshadows, a world that is desperate to free itself from the crushing burden of debt is very likely going to be a world that is willing to do just about anything to get out from under that burden. This will likely mean giving up certain financial freedoms. It could mean that central banks are given more authority over financial markets and businesses. It could mean that governments will expand their power and take greater control over how people use their money. These kinds of changes would put us on a trajectory that makes it easier for a future world dictator to develop a one-world economy. We who are Christians will not be here when the Antichrist establishes his one-world economy. We will already have been taken up in the rapture. And even if an economic collapse were to happen before the rapture, God has promised that he will take care of his own. In Matthew 6, beginning at verse 25, Jesus said, "I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them." Then in verse 31, Jesus said, "Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?" Those words were spoken in a day when it was much more difficult for people to obtain food and meet their needs. No matter what happens to the economy today, we have God's promise that he will take care of us. Yes, we should handle our finances carefully. And yes, we should be wise stewards of what we have. But we shouldn't let today's bad news cause us to worry about tomorrow. As Jesus said in Matthew 6:34, "Do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." God promises to care for his children. Yes, we should be wise and understand the times, but we don't need to let the world's circumstances fill our hearts with anxiety. And if we do find ourselves feeling anxious, we can remind ourselves of what Paul wrote in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Thank you for joining me for this episode of Foreshadows Report. The topic of economic collapse is one of several that I talk about in my book, Foreshadows, 12 Megaclues that Jesus' Return is Nearer Than Ever. As we draw closer to the end time, we are seeing developments take place that are setting the stage for Earth's final day. That's the subject of Foreshadow. Among the trends covered in the book are the rise of globalism, the trend toward a one-world government, the spread of all invasive technology and surveillance, the proliferation of deception, and more. If you wanted a greater understanding of how today's events point to Jesus' soon return, you'll want to consider getting a copy of Foreshadow. To find out more about the book, you can go to my website, themillerresources.com. Also on my website are a number of free articles about Bible prophecy. My hope is that you'll benefit from these articles. And if you'd like to stay in touch daily, a great way to do that is to subscribe to my post on Telegram Messenger Channel. To do this, you can either go to Telegram and subscribe to Foreshadow's Report, or you can go to my website, themillerresources.com. There, you'll find a link to my post on Telegram. Once again, thank you very much for listening. I look forward to joining you again for the next episode. And I want to say thank you to Harvest House Publishers, which has made this podcast possible.